I'm Julie, and this is Todd, in case that was confusing at all to you. most of the story that we'll share tonight, actually, those events occurred back in the early 2000s. But I have a true confession to make, because he's not done with any of us yet. We got into a real pretty doozy this morning. Yep. And it just was really nice to be
humbled and reminded.
Humbled that God is not done with any of us, and we still have a long way to go and a lot of work to continue to do. So don't believe any lies that we've got it going on or whatever. So let me start. Isaiah 61:3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
So we don't want to bury the lead. And the lead is basically this. God can restore anything, even a broken marriage. And it begins with him redeeming a broken me. And if you come to the Lord with that reality in mind, I would just tell you, my hope is that our story will evidence the things that he is capable of doing and that he's done in our lives. So I grew up in a church going home. I thought I was a Christian because I attended church. I had a good moral upbringing, and while I heard the truth of who Jesus was, that religion stuff was really just kind of not for me. In fact, I thought it was kind of for weak people. At an early age, I had been diagnosed with dyslexia and was told by an elementary school principal that I was stupid and that I would likely not graduate from high school. That event became the cornerstone on which a character of self-reliance, performance, control, and pride were built in my life. I would show them I could do anything I put my mind to. And while in the minds of some, that attitude allowed me to excel in the world, it also brought a spirit of arrogance and a focus on self that I struggle with even to this day. I think I know what is best, not just for me, but for those around me. And as a result, I can be a difficult person to be around. Well, in 1993, when I was about 30 years old, and after finding that worldly success was really pretty empty, I gave my life to Christ and began the process of really learning what it means to die to self and live for him. Romans 6:13 says, "Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." For me, that was an easy thing to say and a really difficult thing to do. I started to deal with some of my junk after I became a believer. You know, the stuff that the world would agree is fairly ugly. No more womenizing, no more foul language, no more drinking to excess. I began to grow in my knowledge of God and my knowledge of his word. I served at church, but the reality was I always struggled with thinking this was much more about me than it was about God.
I was born and raised in St. Louis, going to church every weekend and holiday because that was what it was expected. But sadly, I never learned about a personal relationship with Christ. There was little emotion or communication in my family growing up. I didn't learn how to communicate or process conflict or identify any feelings other than anger. During my freshman year of high school, my father called our one and only family meeting to announce that he was leaving. I was completely blindsided. I had no idea how to process this, so I just stuffed it and denied it. I stopped going to church and had no desire to return. I spent the next several years looking to the world and all that it had to offer, to bring me life and meaning. My identity was wrapped up in experiences, adventures, and having fun. Fast forward to when I was 26, I was living out of state in yet another unhealthy relationship. Miraculously, in the midst of this chaos, I realized that the things I was trying to find life in were counterfeits and were actually causing pain and scars. My older brother and sister had recently had turned their lives over to Christ, and they invited me to come and live in Dallas. God's hand literally picked me up and moved me to Dallas and put me in a good church, and soon I turned my life over to Him.
In 1997, I met Julie. She was the first and only girl I dated after becoming a believer in Jesus. She was a breath of fresh air, funny, lighthearted, kind, caring, and she was pursuing Jesus. I knew I wanted to marry her from the first time I met her. We talked for hours about life and ministry and our hopes and our dreams and what we believed. It was great. While our courtship was anything but traditional, it solidified that she was God's choice for me. I can honestly say I have never second-guessed marrying her. That doesn't mean that there haven't been times when I thought, what in the world have I done?
Todd and I met through a singles ministry at the church that we were both attending. And over the next several months, he and I would run into each other at church and social events. During this season, I was dating a man from another church. And at the time that I expected a proposal, he dumped me. Again, I was completely blindsided. With my heart shattered, Todd made his move. In a conversation one evening, he informed me that he had been interested in me since our first meeting, that he wanted to call my dad and ask his permission to date me, and he'd be okay if we didn't kiss until the wedding day. And once my head stopped spinning, I had time to process all that he had shared, and I actually realized I had a clearer picture of where I stood and where we stood after a 3-hour conversation compared to 9 months in this other relationship. His leadership, his decisiveness, his intensity, and communication skills were all so attractive and felt so secure.
In 1 Corinthians 7:28, Paul warns us that marriage is going to be tough. And I must admit that I had some pretty unrealistic expectations coming into marriage. I thought we would agree on everything, and by agreement, I mean Julie would agree with me. That was my first mistake. I thought that we would have perfect kids, a perfect home, a perfect, well, you name it. And when that didn't work out the way I wanted it to, I knew whose fault it was, and it wasn't mine. That was my second mistake. My plans were not always ungodly or even always selfish, but they were always my plans, not God's. My selfishness was not only part of the plan that I had, but when those plans didn't work out, I was hurt, and I was angry, and I was frustrated, and I took it out on other people.
Todd's leadership propelled us into a house and a remodeling project. All of the decisions were not so overwhelming for me, who doesn't like to make decisions, because I was letting him make them all. Todd felt strongly about his preferences. His bar was high, and I couldn't measure up. The safety and security that I thought he would provide eventually evolved into oppression and feelings of being trapped. My fear of failure produced anger every time he pointed out how I could do things better. When I did try to express my opinion or feelings, Todd's litigation skills came out and I shut down. I was screaming and dying inside with no idea how to communicate this to him or process these feelings in a healthy way. I had fallen into the trap of believing the lie that when there is an issue to process, one person comes out the winner and one person comes out the loser. I was tired of being the loser, so I just gave up trying to explain anything to him or discuss things with him. By this time, we're 5 years into marriage with two young kids, and I was stuffing my resentment, and it was coming out in all the wrong directions. I went through Celebrate Recovery, which was the predecessor to Regeneration, the first time because my anger had become a real issue. God began to show me how my conflict avoidance was creating internal chaos and how I needed to get my significance from God, not Todd. I was looking to Todd to be my safety and security when the truth is that job is only the Lord's job. I was trying to get all my identity from Todd and not God. I finished CR with a better understanding of me and my junk and my triggers. However, the dynamics of our marriage were still largely unresolved.
For a long time, I saw the problems in our marriage as Julie's problems. It was my cross to bear. I looked at her and never considered that God was using her to reveal my sin and my shortcomings. You know, that prideful, selfish, controlling, arrogant lover of self that I am, it was always somebody else's problem and often my wife's. Matthew 7, 3 through 5 says, "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's." And Julie was really that brother who I could sure identify the speck in her eye without ever addressing the log in my own. Over time, with the help of friends and Celebrate Recovery, I came to see my part in our struggles. I came to understand that my own insecurities were not only hampering my growth, but were feeding the fears and insecurities of my wife. My perfectionism and criticism fed her insecurities about not being good enough. My controlling nature fed her feelings that her desires didn't matter and that her opinion didn't count. I remember when we bought our first house, we were painting our bedroom and we were talking about doing things well. And I said something like, I want to do everything and do it excellently. My perfectionism scared my wife to death. It fed on her fear that she could never do things well enough for me, as well as her fear of failure. Over time, we realized that each of us needed to focus on our own junk and realize that God had a good and perfect plan for our lives, and that plan included being married to each other. I needed to stop blaming and remember why I fell in love with her to begin with. That the things that caused conflict in our marriage were part of the very things that attracted me to her in the first place. That the things that drove me crazy were the very things that God was using to conform me to the image of his son. Julie's free spirit meant that I needed to lighten up and not take myself so seriously. Julie's quirkiness and uniqueness meant that she had an opinion and it wasn't mine and it was valuable. Julie's care for people meant that my agenda needed to give way to people's needs and that people were more important than tasks. All things that the Lord wanted to teach me through my wife.
It was obvious that God went before us and picked us to be each other's iron sharpening iron. God used Todd to reveal my people pleasing, my conflict avoidance, my fear of failure, and most importantly, God showed me that my identity is in him and not in Todd. I had to learn about my feelings and how to communicate them. I had to get a voice. When I'm struggling with finding the right words for a difficult conversation with a friend, Todd is who I go to for help. Todd's decisiveness and attention to detail have helped us through numerous hard decisions, complex situations, and some grand adventures. God knew exactly what he was doing when he put the two of us together. My junk was, and at times is still, what he uses to transform Todd and vice versa. I love Todd and all the parts of him that God is still sanctifying, because God uses those things to also transform me.
We needed to fall in love again with the things that brought us into one another's lives and appreciate that we were God's tool to complete one another, to counterbalance our learnings, our leanings, and to convict us of sin, to help me die to self.
Oh, die to avoidance.
Die to pride.
Die to fear of failure.
Die to my plans and be okay with what God's plans were for our life. 20 years ago, the Lord used friends and CR to start us on a journey of discovery, of falling in love again, of rebuilding trust with one another. It took time, hard work, and us laying aside our selfish desires, but God has healed, restored, and brought about a deep sense of love in our marriage. I can't imagine being married to anyone else. Julie is my helper, my completer, and my friend. And the ultimate lead for the story is what we started off with, which is God can redeem even broken marriages. But it's got to start with each of us going, God's got to redeem a broken me. Thank you guys very much for listening.